The solemnity of the Epiphany falls on the 12th day of Christmas, that's January 6th. But we anticipated it to Sunday because January 6th is not a holiday. There are many traditions throughout the world that celebrate the Epiphany in a peculiar way. In my hometown and in the whole region where I grew up, we celebrate today the day of La Befana. And all ladies know about this. My sisters know because I always call them on this day to wish them Happy Befana Day. It's not a compliment because La Befana is an old witch. Benevolent, ugly, old witch that brings presents to children well behaved, and she flies in on this 12th day of Christmas. So today was the day when kids used to receive presents when I was a child. So I call my sisters, and obviously they are not happy every year. In other countries, there are other traditions. For example, in many Latin American and Caribbean countries, today is called El Día de los Reyes, the Day of the Kings. And once again, there's a tradition that the kings, riding on camels, come in on this day to bring presents to the kids. And so the kids prepare hay and water for the camels to drink and eat. In Mexico, if I'm not mistaken, today is the tradition is called La Rosca de los Reyes. They prepare a specially baked cake where they hide a figurine of baby Jesus. So whoever gets the figurine of baby Jesus as they eat the cake is supposed to prepare a celebration for the presentation of the Lord to the temple on February 2nd, Candlemas Day, when baby Jesus is brought back to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Whoever gets the figurine has to prepare, once again, presents and food and a celebration for the whole family. The point of all these traditions, I believe, is that today is a day when we exchange gifts. God gives us a gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, and we, like the Magi, go to Him and give Him our best. The Magi gave the Holy Family gold, frankincense, and myrrh, very precious gifts in those days. At Epiphany, we celebrate the manifestation. That's the word, the meaning of the word Epiphany, Epiphanein in Greek. It means exactly to show forth, to manifest, to unveil. So at Christmas, we celebrated the fact that God became a human being. But now, for the first time, we have signs, we have proofs that this human being, this baby Jesus, is more than a human being. He manifests, he shows forth his divinity, his glory, thus fulfilling today's first reading prophecy. A light will shine in Jerusalem, and nations will come to enjoy that light. Kings will bring their presents, gold and frankincense. And so it's the realization of a promise, of a prophecy, that one day the people of Israel, Jerusalem, would become a beacon of light for all nations. Salvation is not only for the Jewish chosen people, it's for all nations. The responsorial psalm sang it beautifully. All nations on earth will adore you. So today indeed is our feast, the feast of those of us who are not of Jewish descent. It's the day when the doors were opened for all of us to come in, to adore Christ. He manifested himself. The Eastern churches celebrate Epiphany in three steps. The visit of the Magi, then the baptism of the Lord, because when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, a voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son." So it's a manifestation of who Jesus is. And the third step of the Epiphany was, or is in the Eastern churches, the miracle of Cana, the first miracle that Jesus did. When Jesus revealed once again his power, his glory. And the Gospel of John concludes by saying, thus did he reveal his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. So you see, it's Jesus coming out, revealing who he is. Today, the Magi, who were they? St. Matthew calls them Magoi in the Greek. It's a word that is very difficult to translate. We don't know exactly who they were. Maybe magicians, astronomers, or astrologers from the East. It is known that in Babylon there was a well-established culture and religion, Zoroastrianism, that was intent on studying the skies, the night sky. They were stargazers, which I love. I love the sky here in Florida, and I end up oftentimes wasting time just gazing up at the sky. Well, that's what these wise men, these scientists of the time used to do. And they looked at the stars, not to find the force that awakens, but to find signs of a person. It's very interesting, you know, the force awakens. What is the force? Apparently it's like a field of energy that unites all living beings in the galaxy, right? Nothing personal. Not someone that you can talk to or that you can look up for. But these wise men see the signs in the sky and they go look for someone. Someone born to reveal God, to be king of all nations, not just the Jews. What did they see? We don't know. It is possible that Matthew uses this idea, this metaphor of a star, simply to tell us that other faiths, other religions, other cultures also were looking for Jesus. But I found something interesting recently. It's a documentary by a lawyer, Rick Larson, I believe his name is, who has this movie. It's called The Star of Bethlehem. And he puts forward a theory that on those days, the time of the birth of Jesus, there was an alignment of planets. Jupiter and Venus, or others say Jupiter and Saturn, aligned. In other words, were seen close in the sky. And close to them, another star called Regulus, of the constellation of Leo. Now, Regulus in Latin means little king. The constellation of Leo, the lion, is the symbol of the tribe of Judah. The little king of the tribe of Judah, close to Jupiter, the god of all the planets. And Venus, the brightest star. Well, Rick Larson and others put forward this theory. It's probably what the Magi saw. They saw this alignment of planets that revealed to them a king, a small king, therefore a newborn king of the tribe of Judah, being born with the power of God and the brilliance, the resplendence of God. And so they embarked on a journey. See, it's not enough to see signs. We oftentimes see signs. We feel a call. We perceive and urge desires to search for God, but we stop there. It's necessary to pick up and go. And keep in mind, in those days, travelers had to face great obstacles, great difficulties. Even a journey of 50 miles would be a great adventure undertaken. And they leave, they travel. It's an invitation for us to move, to act, to be proactive. In this new year, let's not stop at perceptions, at insights. Let's get moving. Let's do something. Let's be brave. And they go, and they meet Herod and the whole city of Jerusalem, who responds with concern. They were not happy about the news. That's funny. It's ironic that those who had been instructed by centuries of revelation and prophets and the Word of God, now that He is finally here, are not ready. And those who are ready are foreigners, pagans, coming from afar. They become an obstacle. Herod even tries to win over the confidence, the trust of the Magi, so that he can take advantage of their knowledge and go and kill the newborn king, whom he sees as an enemy. But they go and finally find Jesus and bring him gifts. When you find Jesus, you're invited to give him your best. They bring him gold, the gift for kings. They bring him incense, burnt on the altars, the gift of gods, divinities. And they bring him myrrh. Now, myrrh is not a gift you would like to bring to a baby shower, because it's for funerals, right? You don't show up at a baby shower bringing a gift that is appropriate for funerals. Myrrh was a very costly ointment used for burials. So they bring these very costly gifts. The myrrh is already a prophecy that this King of Kings, this Son of God, will reveal His majesty, His glory, exactly by dying, by sacrificing Himself. Raymond Brown, a famous Catholic theologian and biblical scholar, wrote a very small book, very interesting, titled An Adult Christ at Christmas. We see already the adult Christ in these infant narratives. We are invited to imitate the Magi, to find Jesus and offer Him our best. And finally, we are told that they went back to their country by another route. Very interesting detail. When you find Christ, you don't go back the same way you came. You are changed. This is what Bishop Fulton Sheen used to say. Of course you change your path, your journey. God has met you in Jesus Christ. You cannot be the same. As we celebrate the Epiphany, we celebrate the Catholicity of the Church. The fact that we are from many nations, many countries, many languages, many races, and yet we all meet at the manger. We all meet in Christ. And we all bring gifts. We all bring our talents, our cultures, our traditions. We bring who we are to honor in Christ the manifestation of God. He is the Epiphany, the showing forth of the glory of God. Paul comments in today's second reading that now Gentiles, the pagans, those who were excluded, now they are members of the family of God. And this is beautiful because this is who we are here at Resurrection. We are an Epiphany church in the sense that here we have all nations, all languages, all traditions, all cultures coming together and glorifying God. So let's celebrate today our Catholicity, the fact that we are universal and yet called to bring our gifts, the best we are, the best we have, to acknowledge that in Jesus Christ we have been given the greatest gifts of all. We have been given the glory of God. Amen.